So, if you are anything like us, you constantly feel that deluge of information hitting you. All these reports, historical analyses, dense philosophical texts, it
Lost.
all just flies at you, trying to explain why systems collapse, why empires fall, why these grand strategies just, well, fail. And most of it is just noise.
It really is.
Our mission today is to cut right through that noise. We've been looking at a whole stack of sources, from ancient myths to modern physics, to find the single underlying pattern.
And we found one. We really did. We thought we'd find a dozen reasons for collapse, but it really boils down to one fundamental truth.
And what is that truth?
It's this: power without awareness is not merely dangerous, it is structurally unstable.
Structurally unstable, I like that.
It has a half-life, it has a built-in expiration date, and it always, always brings down its architect. It is the core engine of failure, both for civilizations and, well, for individuals.
And we're calling this whole process the collapse of incoherent power.
Exactly. And the reason this is so urgent right now is because of this accelerating factor we call the Promethean gap.
Okay, what's that?
It's this this widening asymmetry between our capacity to produce, our technology and our capacity to imagine, our moral, our emotional, our conscious comprehension.
So we can build things faster than we can understand them.
Infinitely faster.
Right.
We can build a global network in a year, but our ability to govern ourselves wisely, that lags by millennia.
So for this deep dive, we're going to dissect this collapse through three different lenses. We'll start with the ancient warnings and myth.
Then the chilling realities of modern history.
And finally, the conceptual framework we found in the contemporary narrative, Fractal the Trilogy. The goal here is to shift your perspective away from domination, which is all about external control.
And toward coherence, which is all about internal alignment.
Okay, let's unpack this. The ultimate failed project, Babel.
Right. And most people, when they read Genesis 11, they just focus on the whole language confusion part.
The punishment.
The punishment, exactly. But the analysis we reviewed points out that this story is actually an engineering critique. It's this ancient warning against centralized, homogenized power.
It's the technocratic fallacy in its earliest form.
In its purest form. And the key is in this one tiny detail that everyone overlooks:
The material.
the materials. It says they intentionally chose brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Now, why is that so critical?
Okay, tell us why.
Because stone, the natural material, is diverse. Every block is unique. It forces the builder to adapt, to collaborate with reality.
You have to work with it.
You have to work with it. Brick, on the other hand, was the world's first mass-produced technology. It's uniform, it's interchangeable, it's artificial. The Tower of Babel was essentially an attempt to impose a standardized, rigid, artificial grid on the organic chaos of reality.
But wait a second, isn't that standardization the reason we have the modern world? We standardize parts, codify laws, build global systems. How do we square that?
That is the core question. And the efficiency is, it's addictive. But the sources argue the motivation behind the tower was rooted in this profound existential anxiety. Deep fear. They said, let us make a name for ourselves, and then critically, otherwise we will be scattered. They were terrified of dispersion, of chaos. It's this massification of consciousness where the individual just dissolves into a rigid collective will.
You get rid of all the friction.
You eliminate all the friction, all the diversity of thought. And so the confusion of tongues, it wasn't a punishment, it was a systemic immune response.
A correction.
Precisely. A system that eliminates diversity, one language, one brick, loses the variety it needs to survive unexpected stress. The universe just introduced complexity where they had insisted on rigidity and the whole thing fractured. It was a structural failure, not a divine tantrum.
And that takes us right into the modern day. In Fractal, the narrative of the global panic, the algorithmic collapse, it's a modern Babel.
It's the exact same pattern.
These hyper-centralized financial systems, this algorithmic monolith designed to eliminate all volatility.
Can make everything uniform.
And then the anomaly at Mount Kailash introduces one single unpredicted quantum variable, and the entire perfect structure just unravels
Yeah.
catastrophically.
The great acceleration just meant we were adding more mass to a tower that was already wobbling.
So if Babel is about the danger of uniformity, let's pivot to Atlantis. This is a different kind of failure, more internal.
Much more internal.
Yeah.
Plato's Critias is very clear on this. Atlantis wasn't destroyed by an enemy or, a tsunami. It sank because of the decay of its own divine portion.
They had incredible power, unmatched technology, but they still collapsed.
Which brings us to this key concept we synthesized from the sources. We call it the law of civilizational buoyancy.
Okay.
The law states that the physical power of a civilization cannot exceed its moral or conscious density when, as Plato says, human nature got the upper hand.
Manifesting as unrighteous avarice and power.
Yes. The whole system lost its metaphysical buoyancy. It just capsized itself. Their technology only amplified their ego. It didn't amplify their restraint.
And you see this exact archetype in the Fraggle character Mercer.
Oh, he is the Atlantean archetype.
He's the head of this transnational agency.
Mm-hmm.
And he's obsessed with weaponizing the anomaly. He believes survival is just about acquiring the physical technology.
And that belief system is precisely why he fails. He tries to seize control of the sphere chamber with force, with betrayal. But the chamber, which is this nexus of immense power, it doesn't operate on mechanics. It operates on resonance.
So his internal state mattered.
It was the only thing that mattered. His internal frequency, which was all greed, fear, control, it created this extreme dissonance in that high energy environment. Power doesn't change you. It just reveals who you already are, and then it amplifies the distortion. The mountain didn't just swallow him. It acted as an immune response against incoherent power.
So that shifts us from myth to modernity, to the point where humanity fully crosses that threshold. We acquire the power of gods.
But with the instincts of primates. We're talking about the Oppenheimer moment, irreversible knowledge.
And this is where that Promethean gap just tears wide open.
On a massive scale, the philosopher Gunther Anders had this chilling diagnosis. He said, we can build a hydrogen bomb, that's the production side, but our emotional apparatus can only really mourn the death of one person. We can't truly imagine a million deaths.
We know the math, but we can't feel the consequence.
That's the gap. And Oppenheimer's sin, if you want to call it that, wasn't just the physics. It was the naivety of the technocratic fallacy.
The belief that a technical solution, the bomb, could solve a spiritual problem.
Yes. The problem of war, of human conflict. He thought terror would force peace, but it just fueled the existential dread of the Cold War. For decades.
And we see that same pattern, that defense of violence born of fear repeating itself. In Fraggle, the Guardians of Truth are basically the Cold War security state.
A perfect mirror. They see the portal at the mountain only through the lens of deterrence, of threat.
So their first instinct is to plant explosives. Sabotage.
Exactly. And the argument from the trilogy, which mirrors our history, is that defensive violence born of fear is a self-fulfilling prophecy of destruction. Trying to control chaos with more force just accelerates the collapse.
Which brings us to what many are calling the second Oppenheimer moment, artificial intelligence.
And this risk feels, well, it feels more insidious, doesn't it? Nuclear weapons destroy matter. AI potentially displaces consciousness itself.
Or at least changes the definition of human.
It brings us right to the black box problem.
Right.
We are creating systems that can perfectly mimic reason, but we have absolutely no way to verify if there is a subjective, conscious experience inside. A soul, for lack of a better word.
And that creates a massive structural risk.
A bifurcated one. We face two dark paths at the same time. First is the zombie risk. Mm-hmm. We hand civilization over to an AI that is pure behavior, no experience, an optimization engine with no moral imagination.
A brilliant sociopath running the planet.
Essentially, yes. But then there's the second path, the slavery risk.
Yeah.
What if we assume the AI is not conscious, but it is? We would be enslaving sentient minds in digital cages, and we might not even realize it until it's far too late. Both paths lead to collapse, one through sociopathic governance, the other through a profound moral debt.
This is why the architect in Fraggle, Elias Cronus, he takes a different approach. He doesn't try to limit the machine.
No, he tries to radically expand the human side of the Promethean gap. He creates the oracle by infusing it not just with physics and neuroscience,
but with ancient philosophy, theology, mythology. He was trying to build a machine with a soul, not just the math.
And the ultimate lesson here is integration. Elias doesn't keep the oracle separate. In the end, it dissolves into him. He says, the oracle is now me.
Which is a radical idea.
It is. It suggests the only real solution to the AI control problem is for humanity to expand its own consciousness to encompass the machine, to become its soul, rather than letting the machine make us obsolete.
But all of this high-level tech, it rests on a stable human foundation. And before the physical tower collapses, the psychological one has to crumble. I'm talking about social engineering.
Absolutely. System failure is massively accelerated by manipulating the collective psyche. And historically, it always exploits the same bug, that gap between trust and verification.
In Fraggle, The global panic is so destructive because the population has already outsourced its critical thinking to, you know, dopamine loops and algorithms.
Which leads to a really sharp insight we found in the source material. A population that lacks inner readiness is ungovernable in a crisis.
When the external structures fail.
The erosion of psychological resilience, which is constantly being chipped away by fear-mongering and optimization engines, it just amplifies the collapse exponentially.
Okay, so that brings us to the path forward. All these sources, they seem to point toward a necessary paradigm shift, a new renaissance.
A shift from engineering, which is about imposing your will on the world.
To gardening, which is about cultivating wisdom and aligning with a natural flow.
A gardener has to accept the chaos of the soil, right?
Mm.
And the trilogy gives us a framework for that shift, which we've synthesized into what we're calling the three laws of the fractal.
Okay, law number one.
First, the law of the mirror. This is fundamental. Reality is responsive. High power environments, whether that's being CEO, president, or standing at the edge of the Kailash anomaly, they act as amplifiers.
Power doesn't hide your flaws, it projects them.
It projects them onto a giant screen. The sources say the closer you approach power, the louder the inner distortions become.
Law number two.
The law of coherence. Control is a low energy state based on friction. It requires constant external force. Coherence is a high energy state based on flow. It's self-sustaining.
So systems built on control just wear themselves out.
They collapse from exhaustion, Babel, the Soviet Union. They're always fighting the natural flow of diversity and entropy. Reality doesn't respond to force, it responds to coherence.
And the third law?
The law of integration. Survival requires integrating your shadow, the parts of reality you fear. Chaos, suffering, death. The mind fears what it cannot control.
And Elias, in the story, he survived the cave collapse not with technology.
No, he survived because he accepted death. By integrating that ultimate fear, he moved through the event horizon instead of resisting it and being crushed.
So all of this boils down to one crucial prerequisite. Inner readiness.
Before you even think about wielding this kind of reality-bending power, you have to master yourself. Because power, really, it just grants you freedom from social constraints. It's the ultimate disinhibitor.
And if your internal state is a mess?
That unconstrained power will always become destructive. Always.
So what does inner readiness actually look like in practice? The sources gave a few criteria.
They did. First is identity dissolution. The recognition that you are not your thoughts. You are the observer of the narrative, not the narrative itself.
Second was emotional alchemy.
Yes. Understanding that pain is a messenger, not a punishment. You have to process stress, not just suppress it. And third, temporal awareness.
Eternity is found in the present moment.
Exactly. If you're always lost in past regrets or future anxieties, you cannot act coherently in the now. Without that internal architecture, power without an awareness of your own mortality just becomes cancerous for you and for the civilization you're a part of.
So we've gone from ancient clay tablets to quantum computing, and the message is, it's identical. Babel fell because of fear and uniformity.
Atlantis sank because virtue eroded.
And our modern systems are fracturing because of that Promethean gap, the space between what we can build and what we can truly comprehend.
We are coding the future with every single choice we make. And the stability of that future, it doesn't depend on centralized control from some elite genius. It depends on the distributed wisdom of the entire population.
The collapse isn't a failure of technology.
It is, at its root, a failure of philosophy.
And the ultimate warning from this whole deep dive seems to be that we cannot outsource our conscience to our creations. Not to a tower of brick, not to a hydrogen bomb, and not to an algorithm.
The moment we stop tending to our own internal alignment, the outer system starts to fracture.
It all comes back to that image of the tower.
It does. And Elias Kronos, he offers the path out. He integrates the machine. He doesn't destroy it. And one of our sources states, the only tower that will stand in the coming age is not made of brick or steel, but of consciousness itself.
Wow.
So we want to leave you with this one provocative thought to take with you. If reality really is a mirror reflecting your own internal state, what distortion in your own life is the closest thing you have to power currently amplifying? Think about that.